Welcome to episode 6 of Taekwondo, The Shame Chronicles. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Melanie, and today we have a special guest, my husband, Josh.
Hello.
Hey, Josh. Welcome back. I know last time, was your first episode. That was a really good episode. It's a shame that we lost that one to my hard drive somewhere. Or, I guess, to not my hard drive, since
right.
It couldn't be saved. Just sort of as a recap for those of you who maybe didn't catch last week's episode, I figured maybe we would start out...
We definitely didn't catch last week's episode.
Yeah, well, I thought that maybe I would just start off this episode by sort of reviewing some of the things that we talked about in the last one. Okay. Just as sort of a way to catch people up. We're not really going to go into detail in any of these, just sort of a list of things that we talked about. So, of course, the first thing we did was we started off with the first-time guest interview, where we asked Josh some really deeply personal questions. It was a really sort of insightful look into the mind of Melanie's husband. Let's see, we apologized for the bad gifts that we've given people. Including a gift that Melanie gave, which was the gift of Christmas spirit.
Sorry, Granny.
In a twist to the apology segment, we created a new one where we demand apologies from people who probably don't listen to the show. And in that segment, Josh demanded an apology from us for not mentioning Philip Seymour Hoffman's performance in Twister from episode 4. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I think there's our chance of getting Philip Seymour Hoffman on the show now has dramatically decreased because of the lost episode.
That's probably true.
Yeah, we really spent a long time talking about his performance in that movie, and that movie in general. So the fact that was lost, yeah, that's probably going to be a problem with booking him or Bill Paxton Pullman, whoever it is. we also talked about the uselessness of business cards and the practicality of what we called personal cards, which is basically a business card, but for singles and swingers. We had a new version or a new episode of the Versus segment where we gave the definitive answer to the question, which hairdo is more racist, fauxhawk or frohawk?
Yeah, I think we really broke some boundaries with that one.
I think we did.
Yeah. Somebody could probably listen to this podcast and use it as a source for their thesis.
Probably.
Yep.
Let's see. We spent 10 minutes talking about the latest Twilight movie.
Which is... It's a good thing that got lost.
yeah, maybe. And finally, we announced the really awesome... sort of expensive prizes that we're going to give away in the haiku contest. We're not really going to go back over those prizes now. I mean, you'll have to go back and listen to that episode, I guess, if you want to know what you're going to win if you call in and leave us a haiku. So, can you guys think of anything I left out? I think that covers most of it.
I feel like that covers it.
All right. Yeah, so once again, I just want to apologize for the people who weren't able to listen to the last week's episode, which is everyone. we'll try to do better this time. Okay, so I want to start off this week's episode by talking about dreams. Because I've had a bunch of really weird dreams over the past week or two. But before I get started, Melanie or Josh, do you guys have anything, any interesting dreams that have happened to you lately?
Well, I have, and I was telling one of these dreams to a friend of mine who told me that this is probably a pregnancy dream, which I didn't realize. So, So the first one that I have to talk about is I had this dream recently that I was with like a group of people, and for some reason they were refusing to allow me to wear pants. And I can't tell you if I even had anything on at the time, or like, or if I wanted to wear something other than pants, or did not, like, maybe they were like, oh, you could wear a skirt. And I was like, no, I want to wear pants. So I don't really know what the whole context of it was, but I was just like, I want to wear pants. And they were like, no. And so, I was telling my friend about this, and she was like, oh yeah, it's probably because, you know, there's like all this stuff up in the air because you're pregnant and we're probably moving and we're graduating and all these other things are happening. And so she was saying it was probably like a lack of control that I was feeling. But it's another one of those dreams I have where everyone's being completely unreasonable and I'm the only sane person there. I don't know how it turned out, but I woke up sort of frustrated that I was not allowed to wear pants. So... and then I've had more explicit pregnancy related dreams. I think I told you before, I have dreams occasionally where, like I will have given birth without realizing. And then like a month later, someone's like, hey, here's your baby.
Right. I think previously you mentioned that, you had this dream where mom had sort of been taking care of your baby for like a month. And then, and you didn't even know how to like change the diapers. And she also named the baby some weird German name.
Yes. So the first dream I had about the gender of the baby, which we're finding out soon. I had a dream that we had a girl, and at this time I was actually like in the process of labor. But at the last minute, I guess this was also like a home birth because we were in our house, but there was like a doctor there and stuff. And so I'm like giving birth to the baby and Josh is there and Rory starts barking from like another room. Uh-huh. And I decide like the second the baby is out of me, I was like, oh, I have to go check on Rory. There's something wrong. So I have the baby and then like I'm just like, Josh, hold the baby. I'll be back. And I like get up and go check on Rory. Like, I don't even look at the baby at all. Like, I didn't even know it was a girl until much later when I came back. And they were like, yeah, it's a girl. Its name is Avery. Okay. So that was pretty weird.
Yeah. That is a little weird.
Uh-huh. It sounds like you have a pretty strong fear that you're not going to be able to name your own baby.
It does seem that way.
Which reminds me, I have something we need to talk about later concerning naming the baby and how you're not going to be able to do it.
Oh, uh-oh.
I'm just kidding.
Anyway, those are my two dreams.
Okay. Josh, have you had any weird dreams? Do you have weird dreams, Josh?
I don't have dreams I don't think that are as weird as Melanie's, content-wise.
Sure.
I have something that some people might call night terrors, or sleep paralysis is another way that people talk about it.
I think I have that sometimes too.
Yeah. So I don't actually think it's very funny, but apparently other people think it's funny. So recently I had this one where, well, I have this recurring one where I feel like there's some sort of intricate network like behind my pillows. And I often think that it's leaking. It's like a network of pipes or something. And so usually what happens is there'll be a shift between my dreaming and my being awake, and in the process of that, I physically act on what I think is happening. And so I'm sort of digging around back there and looking for whatever is going on so that I can figure out, you know, how to stop the leaking. And then recently I had this dream where I was trying to figure that out, and then Melanie was like, would you just leave it alone because it's a surprise? And apparently they were making some sort of surprise for me that involved an intricate network of pipes behind my pillows. And so in the dream, I was like, well, I wish you would have told me that, because for weeks now, I've been thinking that something's back there, and then I've been thinking that I'm dreaming, and it's really freaking me out. And so then in the dream, and also sort of when I woke up after the dream in which I was looking for the intricate network, I thought, oh, well, they're just working on that surprise, so I don't have to worry about that anymore. So I'm thinking maybe that will be the end of that dream. I don't know.
I was going to say, have you worried about it since then?
No, I haven't had that one since then. Oh. But it hasn't been that long.
I think that I should just, like, at any point in time while you're sleeping, just lean over and, like, whisper in your ear, like, it's not real.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad idea.
Well, maybe you could just, like, get a recording and then, like, sort of play that back in a loop.
And then eventually I just go around in normal life thinking that nothing is real. Like, well, is that real? No, I don't think so.
I feel like the most extreme version of this that you've had, if you don't mind me telling everyone in the world who listens to this, is the one when you thought there was an alligator on the floor.
Yeah.
And you jumped out of the bed and went to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's correct.
Not like went to the bathroom, peed, but like ran to the bathroom.
Basically ran to the bathroom in one giant leap.
And it woke me up. I was like, what are you doing? And then he told me, well, he obviously realized, because he was awake at that point, that it was kind of silly. Because obviously there was not an alligator there. But I instantly was sort of like, well, thanks for leaving me behind.
Yeah. Yeah, it often takes some sort of intense physical reaction to finally get me out of the in-between state. Or I will, like, lie there for a really long time thinking that something's going on. Like, There's a snake right next to me in bed and I can't move. So I don't really get that much quality sleep, I don't think.
So that's sort of, I mean, it's almost like a sleepwalking thing, right?
Yeah, I used to sleepwalk when I was a kid.
I had a really weird experience that happened to me, like, maybe two New Year's ago. Or maybe it was the 4th of July. But I was...
Those are, like, opposites.
Well, for me, like, most of the time I spend 4th of July and New Year's at Lauren's parents' house. So I get those two holidays confused a lot.
They both include fireworks also.
Yeah, that's definitely it. So I think this was probably... This is definitely after a long night of drinking and shooting fireworks. So I think it was probably 4th of July. But I went to bed drunk, and I fell asleep, and then probably at, I don't know, 3 or 4 in the morning, I woke up, and I just really had to, I felt this, like, really intense urge that I needed to save everyone. And the way that I thought to do this was I went and stood over next to the alarm clock, I picked it up off of the table, and I stared directly into its LCD screen. And I just started pushing all the buttons. I really have no idea how that was going to save everyone.
Maybe you thought it was a bomb.
I think that must have been what it was, because it was like the, you know, the red numbers and stuff, and I guess I thought it was counting down or something.
Now, from what I understand from television, if you think something's a bomb, you should just start pushing all the buttons.
At least you didn't throw it across the room. Or, like, through a window.
Yeah, that would have been really embarrassing. I mean, way more embarrassing than what actually happened.
Did you wake anybody up?
Yeah, because Lauren was in the room with me, so she woke up and she's like, "What the hell are you doing?" And then I, of course, like kind of snapped out of it. But yeah, that was really weird.
Yeah, it's pretty strange.
Okay, so I had, over the past 2 weeks, I've had three sort of really weird dreams that I can remember. The first one I actually had this morning, or the first one that I'm going to talk about. And this was like, I was in like a Chips Ahoy commercial for like the Chips Ahoy cookies or whatever.
And you know how Were you a grown man or a child?
I think I was a grown man, but I think this was like a Halloween version of Chips Ahoy cookies. Okay. And you know how the slogan is like 1,000 chips in every bag. For whatever reason, all I remember from this dream is the commercial came on, and instead of saying 1,000 chips in every bag, they said, "Wow, okay, it's really hard for me to say this without laughing." Come for the crimes, stay for the murder.
What? And so you had to say this, or that it came on?
It was I was watching a commercial, so it was on the commercial.
Oh, okay. That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
I like the indication that murder is not a crime.
Was there any follow-up, or did they just show like an image of the cookies?
It was like cookies, and it was, I mean, so the picture had like a bag of cookies, and then it was like Halloween themed, so it had like bats and jack-o'-lanterns.
Okay.
No murderers as far as I could see. But the text was on the screen, so it was like a guy said it and the text was on the screen. Come for the crimes, stay for the murder.
That's really strange.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, so let me talk about the next dream. I had this one last week, maybe like 5 or 6 days ago. And the setting of this is like right outside of a Six Flags, like right as you're about to go in. So there was a table there with Mitt Romney and John McCain standing behind it. And I don't know what they were doing. I guess they were campaigning or something, for all the people that are coming into Six Flags. And so they're sort of, I don't know, like on the table, there's like all these like snack foods. And so they're just kind of snacking on things. Mm-hmm. And then at one point, Mitt Romney turns to John McCain and like puts a cracker in his mouth. And then, okay, this next part is really weird.
Weirder than that?
Yeah. I'm not sure how the best way to describe this or what the best way to describe this is, but basically Mitt Romney kind of reached out towards John McCain's face and stroked his beak.
His beak?
Yeah. Like, as if, so John McCain looked normal. He didn't have a beak, but uh-huh. Mitt Romney sort of stroked his face as if he had a beak.
Okay.
And, yeah, that's all I really remember about that dream. But I thought that was sort of noteworthy for being sort of batshit insane.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the last dream I'm going to talk about, this one, I don't really know what to make of this dream, and it's kind of long, so I wrote down some notes so I wouldn't forget any of it. But I guess this one has more of a narrative to it. The setup is that I wasn't me. Like, I was sort of behind the eyes of someone who wasn't myself. But this person was sort of like almost like a Holden Caulfield type who mm-hmm. didn't really feel like he belonged, just kind of a loner. Which, I mean, I guess everyone kind of is a little bit like Holden Caulfield, but for whatever reason in the dream, I knew that this wasn't actually me. It took place, this person was like a freshman or sophomore in high school, somewhere on the East Coast.
Okay.
The reason why I'm giving you all these details is some of these become important later on. Okay. So it starts off, and I'm eating breakfast, and I'm looking through this magazine, and at the end of the magazine, I see an ad for this kind of alternative school for kids who feel like they don't belong. So then the next part of the dream that I remember, I'm sort of on my way to school, on my way to high school, and I decide, you know what, I'm just going to run away and go to this alternative school. So sort of along the way, I stop, for whatever reason, I stop in this men's clothing store, where there's like another kid who's kind of like me, sort of like a loner, not really, who doesn't really have like a lot of friends. And there are all these, other bullies sort of making fun of how he was dressed. And I didn't do anything about it cause I didn't want to like bring their attention onto me. So I sort of just looked on and felt helpless, and then I eventually left. So then I'm getting closer to this school. For, I don't know, this school is maybe like 5 or 6 miles away. Mm-hmm. I'm getting closer to it. I'm walking along this thing that looks sort of like a boardwalk, or maybe like a canal with like apartment buildings on both sides. There's sort of like a, almost like a carnival feeling to it a little bit. And as I'm getting closer, I'm like getting more and more excited. Like, yes, I'm going to go to the school where I'll be accepted and I can sort of be free to be whoever I want. and at this point in the dream, I have this really intense internal understanding that I'm a lesbian. not like in a sexual way, just like in a, I don't know.
like a cultural way?
Yeah, like, I don't know, maybe my mind was just going to the place of what's sort of like the hardest, loneliest person I could be at this moment, and that's maybe a teenage lesbian who's not out yet.
Yeah.
So finally I get to the... I get to this place, I get to the address of the school, and I knock on the door. It just looks like a regular apartment building. And another sort of high school age girl opens the door. She seems really like reluctant to let me in. She's like looking like really nervous. But I say that I'm there to join the school. She finally lets me in. And so I'm kind of walking around, and it's just an apartment. Like, there's no school here. But I'm walking around, and I see this refrigerator, and the refrigerator has, like, this handwritten sign on it that says, "Keep Out," in big letters. Mm-hmm. And then, at this point in the dream, I have this, like, sudden revelation that this is a secret doorway to a society that's run by children. And I feel like my life is sort of going to change forever. Like, I'm going to go on lots of adventures. I'm not going to have to, like, listen to adults anymore. Like, I'm going to get along. I'm going to, like, make lots of friends there. And then so I start opening the refrigerator, and then I wake up.
Oh, no.
No, but it, I don't know. I woke up with, like, this really intense feeling of satisfaction.
That's pretty strange.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure what to think about that dream.
Are you feeling alienated in your life, Kyle? Do you wish you could go back to a time when things were simpler?
No, I mean, I feel comfortable with who I am. I mean, I may be a little bit lonely because of you know, the fact that Lauren's in another state.
Right.
But I mean, other than that, I mean, I don't feel I don't feel like I'm like repressing part of my personality, and I don't feel like I don't get along with people.
Right.
So I don't know.
Maybe it wasn't necessarily a literal place of kids just living on their own. Maybe it was like you opened the door to your own innocence.
Exactly.
Well, okay, I guess it sucks that I woke up then.
That's why you're so satisfied when you woke up.
Yeah, well, okay. Anyway, I guess that dream wasn't really that funny. But it was a weird dream that I had, so... you guys want to take a break?
Sure.
Sure.
All right, you've been listening to Taekwondo, The Shame Chronicles, and we'll be right back.